Please stand with me as we reverence the reading of God's word this evening. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 13 through 16 is our main text tonight. God's word says this: "The lazy man says, 'There is a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets.' As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly." May God bless the reading of his word tonight is my prayer. You may be seated. As I mentioned this morning, the reason why I picked this topic tonight was because Brother Rich had talked about the work of the ministry last Sunday. And instead of talking about the work of the ministry specifically this evening, I just wanted to look at some of what the Bible says about both work and laziness. In general, I think some may have made the connection this morning that I was talking about it on the heels of just going through the motions, and that connection was not intended. Just in case anybody was curious, I don't have a bone to pick. I don't have an axe to grind. I just wanted to preach on work. So before we get into the text specifically, I'd like to lay a bit of a foundation. You see, in the first two chapters of Genesis, we see that God worked in creation and that Adam worked in the garden. With that being the case, we know that work is not a product of the fall. Only the toil and sweat that work brings is a product of the fall. In Genesis chapter 2, one of Adam's jobs was to tend and keep the garden. And when you look at that, it literally means to serve. But when you think about it, there was no exertion exhibited, no sweat. There was nothing tiring about work. It was completely enjoyable. Can you imagine that? Going to work, putting in a full day, and not even being tired. That's really something to think about. It was completely enjoyable until Adam disobeyed God, bringing sin into the world. We know that the ground was cursed, which is explained in the latter part of chapter 3. And just thinking, like I said, laying a foundation, it's interesting to think about what it must have been like to pull up the first weed, or to be tired from tilling the ground to plant crops. I imagine that would be very odd or even frustrating, as Adam would be reminded of his sin literally every single time he put his hand to the proverbial plow. But there's some good news. In Revelation 22 and 3, and I'm going to jump around for a minute, and I'm going to share several scriptures, so they'll all be up there this evening. But Revelation 22 and 3 says this: "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." So one day, all of those who have repented of their sin and placed their faith in Christ will serve God in heaven. And just as one man enjoyed no strain from work before sin entered into the world, so also these individuals will enjoy serving God for all of eternity. And if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. But with all of that, we know that there is a time to work, there is a time to rest, and we would all admit that none of us balance that perfectly. I would submit to you that the only person who ever perfectly balanced both work and rest in his life was Jesus Christ. Since he's perfect in every way, he's the only one who worked when it was time to work, worked as hard as he needed to work, worked as long as he needed to work, etc. And on the other hand, he's the only person who always rested when he needed to, for as long as he needed to. And one example that comes to mind is that after a full day of teaching, Jesus took a nap in a boat. We're reminded in Mark's gospel, in chapter 4 and verse 38, it says, "But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" So it's true that he is fully God. You see his deity on display in that passage, but he's also fully man. So you see his humanity on display and the fact that he was taking a nap. He slept for the perfect amount of time. He woke up right when he needed to. I know the disciples woke him, but nevertheless, I would also say that we should not work so much that we place no value on spiritual things before our life is over. The Bible tells us in Matthew's gospel in chapter 16 and verse 26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" We should also not work so little, provided that we are physically able to work, that we are what the book of Proverbs would describe as someone who is a sluggard or a lazy person. We should follow the principle set forth in Colossians chapter 3, which says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." But in the book of Proverbs, the sluggard or the slothful person is mentioned at least 17 times. And sluggard just means literally to be indolent or slothful. You could also say not making the most of every opportunity. Whereas indolence is defined as having or showing a disposition to avoid exertion. So we would all say that we can be sluggish at times. However, there's a difference when the Bible talks about the sluggard. The sluggard that the Proverbs warns us about is someone who has patterned their life in such a way to be known as the type of individual that avoids exertion. That's their disposition, the Bible says. And one of the first examples we find in the book of Proverbs is in chapter 6. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8 say this. They say, "Go to the ant, you lazy one. Observe its ways and be wise, which having no chief officer or ruler, prepares its food in the summer and gathers its provision in the harvest." And the key takeaway from the example of the ant is that the ant doesn't require outside motivation to get itself going. It's a self-starter, in other words. The ant doesn't have to have anyone or anything always coming to it and reminding it of the things it needs to be doing and when it needs to be doing those things. Like I said, I know we can all be sluggish at times, and that's not what I'm speaking to. The lazy person doesn't want to work hard, and I would also say they don't want to do hard work. Which brings us to our text this evening, Proverbs 26 and 13. We see the excuses of a lazy person. Proverbs 26 and 13 says, "The lazy man says there is a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets." Now, is there actually a lion in the road? And the answer is no. Solomon is actually poking fun in a humorous way, because Solomon is saying that when it comes to a person who's truly lazy, there's nothing out of the realm of possibility for an excuse when it comes to getting out of hard work, even when it comes to the absurd. And maybe you've met someone, maybe you know someone like that. My old youth director shared an illustration with me. He said that he came home from work one day to figure out that his sons had failed to take out the trash. And so he asked them why they could not take out the trash, and his sons replied that they could not take the trash out because they couldn't get the four-wheeler started. Right? And we all know that that's not why they couldn't take the trash out. That's just the excuse that they gave. Interesting, Proverbs 22 and 13. Once again, I have these up there. Proverbs 22 and 13 says, The lazy man says, there is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. Which brings me to the question, have you ever met someone who acted like working hard was going to kill them? Maybe you have. It's okay to laugh. Maybe you have. I can't help but think of the times when I was a teenager. That way I'm not just preaching about other people. That when I was a teenager and I said the famous words to my parents, I'm bored. My parents didn't even have to stop what they were doing to give me an entire list of things to keep me busy, to which I classically responded, actually, you know, I'm not bored anymore. I'll find something to do. But joking aside, just like the illustration I mentioned before, we would all say that it's cute and even humorous when kids do it. But after that, it's not so cute anymore. And it's not as humorous. Another thing, when you think about it, the lazy person and their excuses, and you see it's evident in the text, there's no indication in the text that it bothers them whatsoever that they make excuses constantly. It doesn't matter how creative or absurd they get, it doesn't bother them. Which would lend you to think that if they would spend that energy that comes with being so creative about the excuses as to why they can't get around to doing anything, they might actually amaze themselves at what they could really accomplish. Verse 14, we see the efforts of a lazy person. Solomon tells us, as a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. So simply put, both of them move, but neither one goes anywhere. And it's so severe in some cases, it's as if the lazy person is hinged to their bed. He writes elsewhere, how long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Now, there are those who really struggle to get a good night's sleep, I understand. And it's understandable that they might try to sleep when they can. So that's not the idea being conveyed in the passage here. The idea that's being conveyed is that someone would rather try to find a reason to put work off and use a nap or a rest as an excuse to do so. But I would also say there's such a thing as a healthy nap. My stepdad used to take what he called cat naps. I don't know if you ever take those or refer to those, but they never lasted more than 30 minutes and he would get right back to what he was doing, right? You ask the question, why does the lazy person not want to get out of bed? I would say it's twofold at least. Either because of the perceived burden of the task, they think the work's going to be really hard so they don't even want to get going, or they think that they could put it off until tomorrow. But before I get there, I wanted to pause and to make a note here about the work ethic of a lazy person. The Proverbs also tell us in Proverbs 10 and 26, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. So this is the kind of person that when they finally get around to doing the work that they were asked to do, you might reason that it would have been better if you had done it yourself because of the quality of work or the lack of quality that they do. So the writer's saying that their work ethic is as distasteful as vinegar is or as irritating as smoke in your eyes. But I mentioned about tomorrow that maybe that's why someone doesn't get around to doing something habitually, as they always perceive that they have tomorrow. Well, the Proverbs tell us, we always quote James in chapter 4, but the Proverbs even tell us in 27 and 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. So it's true that some things really can wait until tomorrow. And if you've ever met a person that loves to work and works hard, that frustrates them, right? That they can't get it all done. Some things can wait until tomorrow, but it's also true that tomorrow may not come. And I would say that young people face the temptation of working like they always have tomorrow. On the other hand, you'll notice that some older people work like tomorrow isn't promised. It was Brother Danny Vance even said just this morning that he knows he's on borrowed time. And that's true not just for Brother Danny, but that's true for all of us, whether we realize it or not. And some older people can look back and reflect on a lifetime of hard work. But I would say that they don't make any preparations for when they are no longer here. And as a young man who lost both of his parents relatively young, I would say that when it comes to losing one in an unexpected fashion and losing one in an expected fashion, that can make a lot of difference in the life of a loved one. And I promise I'm not trying to meddle, so I'll keep going. The Proverbs go on in verse 15 to say, "The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth." And if that's not the epitome of laziness, I really don't know what is. I had a good laugh earlier. You can ask my wife. One man put it this way. He puts his hand in his Cheerios, and it's Cheerio. Sorry, that gets me. That gets me. But the Proverbs also tell us in 12 and 27 that the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. So when it comes back to the lazy man burying his hand in the bowl, I would say that using sarcasm, Solomon actually shows us that lazy people want to be supported by someone else or even indulged in every way. I found an illustration that I found useful. One person put it this way. In our national parks, rangers warn visitors against feeding the animals. They explain that deer can become so used to handouts that they actually lose their ability to fend for themselves. Bears, the rangers say, can come to believe that handouts are their due and will become quarrelsome, even violent, if they do not get what they want. Smaller animals such as chipmunks or squirrels gravitate to places where people feed them, thus upsetting the proper balance of nature. So, nature teaches us that giving too many handouts is not a good idea. A right-minded society does not make it easy for people to live on the dole. And once again, I understand that not everyone has the ability to work, and I'm thankful for the provisions our society has in place for that. However, the idea that anyone and everyone can choose not to work and be supported, such as a universal basic income, I would say is biblically unsupported, right? And I know that's not popular, and I'm not trying to get on a tangent. I believe that's what the Bible's clearly saying. I'm not going to apologize for it. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." The New Testament takes it further in Ephesians 4. "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." And so the biblical ethic, I would say, is that we are to engage in honest, honorable work to be able to provide for our own needs, and if opportunity allows, be able to give someone who truly does have a need, and we know that there are those. So, verse 16 in our text, you see the estimations of a lazy person. The proverb says, "The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly." So lazy people, if they are not careful, will not listen to the wisdom of others who have gone before them in a given field or task. You want to help someone out, you want to give them advice on how to get going or get started, and they just don't want to hear it, or they think you don't know anything. Maybe that's happened. And oftentimes they do this, and Solomon's even saying they do this because they think they are wiser. which culminates in a mindset of someone thinking that I'll find a better way, I'll find a smarter way, or like I said earlier, you don't know what you're talking about. But the Proverbs also say, right before we begin our text in verse 12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. So I'm thankful when people find easier and equally efficient ways of doing things. Praise the Lord, right? We have a lot of modern conveniences because of that. There really are some better mousetraps out there. I would readily admit that. But as I mentioned earlier in the example of taking the trash out, sometimes it's better just to do the work that needs to be done. And so I would say that we need to be careful not to be so busy trying to find a better way that we never get around to doing anything. And even if we have good intentions, or even if someone is a perfectionist, it can come to be viewed as laziness, even though that would never intend that. I would also say that you need to welcome the wisdom of sensible people. I don't feel like I have that issue with most of you in here. And I'm not saying most. I don't have another category of people who I don't think would listen. But you need to welcome the wisdom of sensible people and realize that Solomon is saying on the other side of that coin that not everyone who has an opinion is considered sensible by the Bible standard. And even though this last point that I'm going to get at is not in the passage, it is in the Proverbs at large. I would say we see the end of a lazy person. Things don't end well for the habitually lazy person. The Bible does not paint a pretty picture. We're told by Solomon that at the end of his illustration about the ants and the rebuke to the sluggard that never wants to get out of bed or is always finding an excuse to nap, I want you to listen. It says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. And the idea that is if you're not careful, all of a sudden, the law of sowing and reaping is going to catch up with you. I don't know how much simpler I could put it. So I want to make a few notes just by way of an overview. One about the lazy man's opportunities in life. Okay? And I'm going to skip around a little bit, like I said. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Before you know it, all the opportunity that you have available is gone if you're not careful. That's what the writer's saying. A note about the lazy man's orderliness in his life. This one will wake you up. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. Like I said, that's up there on the screen. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. I understand that not everything's going to be perfect, but the picture of someone just completely, just no order to their life, it's just utter chaos. If you don't make the most of the opportunities, if you don't put your hand to the plow, that can be the affairs of your life if you're not careful. And lastly, doesn't mean I'm done. the lazy man's outcome in life. Proverbs 20 and 4. The lazy man will not plow because of winter, he will beg during harvest and have nothing. And so there's two things. There are many people who we would call a beggar or even a panhandler that are actually very, very mentally ill. And that is unfortunate, and I understand that they need help. However, there are also many people who would do very well if they reinvested the energy they spent begging into finding a job. And once again, I'm not trying to be crude, but just putting it out there. On the other end of this, you'll notice that even though the work was not put in, and this is what stuck out to me originally, they still wish for a different outcome. They wish it hadn't been so, beggar or not. And so the story goes for the lazy person. They will look back on their lives and wish things would have been wildly different. And the only reason why that they were not different is because the law of sowing and reaping. And so I don't have the time tonight, but my survey of the Proverbs shows that in contrast to the lazy individual, the wise individual is described as a diligent man. We've seen that a couple times. I would say he's a delighted man because he works hard and takes advantage of those opportunities mentioned, and he's a devoted man. And most of all, I would say he's devoted to the Lord. I've read this one already, but Colossians 3, 23 and 24, the Bible tells us, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." And if you were here last Sunday, Brother Rich, he always has good outlines, but you could also say and also use the outline that he had. A wise man does honest work, he does hard work, he does heart work, and he does humble work. And so, Brother WC mentioned it this morning, but when you serve the Lord, we know that your labor is not in vain. Amen. And whether that's secular work or whether that's spiritual work, God knows who you are, and he sees the work that you're doing. And in closing, a few thoughts. Adrian Rogers put it this way: any old man can put on a new suit, but only Jesus can take a new man and put him in an old suit, or put a new man in an old suit. And so why do I say that? Well, I mean, it's because I know the Lord that I loved actually studying for this. I had fun, which might sound weird. But studying the Bible is fun. Working, I think, is awesome. And that was actually going to be my sermon in a sentence, but that's not necessarily a good one. Work is awesome. But when we serve the Lord, we can go back to our old jobs as new people, right? Because God gives all of that a deeper meaning. And when you think about that, what comes to my mind is when the shepherds encountered Christ, right? They get the visit from the angels. They hear about the Messiah. They go and find him. And it says they go back to their work praising the Lord. And if you can praise the Lord being a shepherd, right, you can praise the Lord and do just about anything else under the sun as well. And you might say, "Well, Brother Justin, my body isn't what it used to be." And I hope you didn't misunderstand anything I said tonight. The Lord knows that. The Lord knows whatever your situation is. He knows what your body can do and what it can't do. He knows what your mind can do and what it can't do. And I may not know that. But I would say, like I said, the Lord does. And I would bring again to you your remembrance. One day, all of those who have repented of their sins and accepted Jesus Christ as Savior will serve him for all eternity. And we'll do that in new bodies. That means I'm not going to walk this way forever. Praise the Lord for that. The Bible tells us, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." You know, I think that's why some people who love to work aren't necessarily excited about talking about heaven, because they might think that they're just going to get up there and sit on a cloud and play the harp all day. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think God will have plenty of things for us to do. But that leads me back to where I started, which is, it is a blessing to be able to work. It is not a burden. And so I would ask you, are you working hard, or are you hardly working?